Hey guys, welcome back. BDCKR here. We're back with Season 10, Episode 18 of our weekly-ish Q&A videos. They've been weekly for the past little while. We've been on a good schedule with them. And to start off, you wanted to talk a little bit. So this is, they're not just videos, they're also podcasts. And you can check the links in the description if you're on the video to access this on some podcasting platforms. But if you are watching the video, you like opening the video often by talking a little bit about the team that we're seeing.
Right. So it's Suicide Squad Harley Quinn. And this is another example of the, it's not anything earth shattering, but it's interesting as I just play this team more and I notice more. So we're playing Suicide Squad Harley Quinn for her special two. We are using Suicide Squad the Joker to enhance her special two so that for the Joker card, instead of increasing team damage, what she does is gets Joker to come in and do a big hit. So if Joker's hit knocks them out, Joker gets credit for all the damage. Even though he's not technically in the fight, when he does that assist, all that damage is his, which is why there are the stats at the end you see where he spent no time in the fight, but he gets a crap ton of damage. So the interesting thing, though, is that if Joker doesn't knock them out with the hit, if there's a revive, then Harley Quinn gets credit for all the damage that the Joker does.
Yeah.
So she's still getting credit for the skull damage. She always gets credit for skull damage. But that's why you see that disparity sometimes at the end of the fight.
Interesting.
Where, yeah. So there's the fights where, you know, I notice at first are the ones that take a little longer where we have more difficulty, where Joker is maybe not knocking out because for whatever reason it's not doing enough damage. Oh, the other thing I should point out too that we noticed from before but we forgot to mention last week is that he does the same amount of damage, does not take into account whether the opponent is blocking. And because we set him up so that he always crits, even when the opponent's blocking, he still does full damage.
Yeah.
So they don't get any kind of damage reduction for blocking, which is spectacular. Which is why I think some of these fights with the Suicide Squad team with Harley Quinn are so fast. Because it just doesn't really matter. And the way we set it up with Deadshot, really the only sort of trouble is Astro Harness. And we set up with Deadshot to have Astro Harness. Normally we don't like to waste the first invulnerability, but it's there because if there is somebody with who has Astro Harness on the opponent's team, we don't have Hawkgirl to be able to tag in Deadshot to waste the time, and we don't really want to wait all that time for tagging out Deadshot to bring in Harley Quinn. So we just let them, let their invulnerabilities cancel each other out, tag in Harley Quinn, and then she drops her special two, which does enough damage to bypass all the invulnerabilities.
Very cool. It's a good team. You know, it's weird. I'm only just thinking about it now. I almost want to look at the phrasing of the Tantu Totem, because thinking about who gets credit for the damage makes me think about how funny it would be if there was a glitch that your special two, if Joker got credited for the damage, it would count as Harley Quinn doing no damage, getting
but she still gets a knockout.
Refunded.
But she's not doing damage.
Is it if your special does no damage? What's the phrasing of it? Because the way that it's phrased, it might be it's like if you do no damage with a special, because you aren't dealing any damage. Whether you mean you, the person
you
holding
get the
it, or you, the team.
But you get the knockout.
So, so you get your special, out, you get your power back anyways. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm just, I'm wondering
if they phrasing... All right, so I guess if the phrasing matters and if they program it according to the phrasing or the way we've just assumed that it works.
Well, we know how it works.
We know how it works.
But the question is whether the phrasing is consistent or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, one thing that I want to actually shout out, it's a game that I have just gotten into and started playing, and it is massively successful and popular right now, so it should not be a surprise to anybody, but Lethal Company is as good as it looks in the clips. It's as good as everyone's saying it is. It is massively fun. It is so cool.
Right.
And it is right in that sort of sweet spot where it's, I think, $12 Canadian, like $10 US, where it's not no money, right? You know, the developer gets a couple bucks every time you buy the game. But it's cheap enough that if you have any sort of disposable income, and even if you don't, even if you're, you know, a kid, it's you're probably going to be able to sort of get your hands on $10 to $12 if you really want it, for most people, hopefully. And it is really, really fun. It's cool. I really think that it's like a great platform for sort of like emergent storytelling where all the mechanics incentivize you to play in a way that puts you sort of at the center of like a thriller slash horror, you know, movie with a very specific plot. And it feels when it's working, it's so cool and fun. And the only thing that I'll say for it is that maybe my favorite moments in the game were my first hours in it, where I didn't know anything. I knew about the game. I knew everybody was talking about it, but I didn't know information about it. Mm-hmm. And so the closer to zero information you can go in, if you can find a group of friends who haven't played the game, mm-hmm. and jump in all with them together for the first time, maybe not for everybody, but, you know, not looking anything up, not doing the research, not getting that sort of meta knowledge, and discovering the game and letting it sort of unravel naturally for you, mm-hmm. has been where my greatest joy with it has been.
So you mentioned something I think it's worth bringing up, is that the mechanic of it is really interesting. There's something that's different than other games.
Well, it's something that has been around since, I think, Among Us in they were mods, but then I think they might have even been introduced into the actual game itself. Mm-hmm. But importantly, it's like proximity chat, and then tools to change proximity chat. Our cat is currently trying to eat something. I'm going to pick him up.
And maybe evict him. Normally, he's not in the studio when we're doing this, but he just, for whatever circumstances he happened to be, and he's taken a hankering to adhesives. So anytime there's an edge of tape around, he will lick the heck out of that. I don't know what that's doing for his bowels.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine.
It can't be good to eat glue.
Well, yeah, you think so, but then all those, the sort of that cliche joke about the kid in school who eats glue, and that I don't know, is there something
compelling about it?
Well, I guess, is there something compelling about it, and is there something about the kind of regular school glue that's used that is less toxic when it's swallowed? So it's,
I think,
inert.
It is non-toxic. I think Elmer's school glue is supposed to be non-toxic. Anyways, it uses like proximity chat, and I think it plays to its strengths as an indie game, which is that it, you know, is not super smooth of an experience. It's a little bit janky, but in some of the ways it's janky in an intentional way, like, you know, navigating through your inventory and stuff is a little bit awkward. And so what that will do is have you fumbling in a high intensity situation for whatever item it is that you're trying to use, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, you're fumbling for your flashlight to turn it on or off, or your walkie-talkie so that you can communicate with people. And it is, there's very few games where I don't have like meaningful like criticisms of it. And with Lethal Company, there's places that is rough around the edges, places that it's janky, whatever. But most of those things directly contribute to part of its charm. And when it's fun, it is so fun that like any possible criticisms I could have of it are just moot. Like, I just don't care, because it works so well when it works.
It's a funny thing that you bring up, because it's not just video games, right? It's a lot of stuff that we enjoy. So if there's enough, this is why I think, you know, people talk about what makes good game, good media, whatever. It almost doesn't matter, because if it hits that sweet spot for you, if it does the one thing that you need it to do really well, then you can forgive so much else. Like, I mean, the best game is when you don't need to.
Yeah.
But if it does something really well, whether it's a story, a book, a movie, a game, and there's something, I mean, even more than, I mean, you know what I was thinking of the other day was Star Wars. So when I saw Star Wars, the first one, when they went back and rebranded it A New Hope, it wasn't A New Hope originally, it was just Star Wars. And I watched that at a moment when I was very impressionable. There was really nothing else like it at the time. Mm. And I imprinted upon it like a newly hatched duckling.
Yeah, just like, I love this.
I love this. This is amazing.
You're my parent now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there are... You know, as I get older, I can recognize the weaknesses in it.
Yeah.
And until I watched Andor, and then I rewatched Rogue One, that I realized that Star Wars, as good as it isn't even the best Star Wars movie. The best Star Wars movie, I think, is Rogue One. Mm. Because there is something at stake there, because it's not dealing with these super important people that you know are pivotal to whatever's going to happen. And it's that kind of movie. Like, there's certain kinds of stories where early on, they tell you, do not become complacent, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Game of Thrones. Early on, in the first season, they tell you, nobody is off limits.
Yeah.
But Star Wars, it always felt like until you get to the final story, right? That these are all important people that are going to be introduced. And I feel like Andor, was like that because you knew, I mean, these were not important characters, right? It was happening at a point in the past. And because it came out after Rogue One, you knew that one character would make it, but you didn't know in what kind of shape. And it was more less important that he made it than it was how he got to the point where he was, because clearly there was a story of growth and of becoming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of really exceptional media properties where you already know how the character's story ends, like Better Call Saul, for example, right?
You know the plot.
You know where people end up, and it doesn't matter at all. Because I think what's important is that a good story will be compelling even if you know the ending. And some stories are even set up that way, right? Where you know the ending.
They're more compelling sometimes because you know what's going to happen. And then you feel this... I feel this, what is it, this, my, sometimes, depending on the situation, I feel like my guts are being twisted.
There's like a tension.
There's this really huge tension, more so than even suspense, right? There's this tension about how they're going to get there, knowing what's going to happen, and that sense of foreboding.
Yeah, and I think that a show that loses all of its sort of value, or loses all that tension just because you know the ending of it...
Mm-hmm.
means that it is really based off of the twists and the plot. And I think a stronger show will be based less on the plot and more on, like, the drama, right? Which is an individual, like, character's motivations and tensions and growth and all these other things that I think are ultimately much more important to making a good story, where the best story, you could read a plot synopsis and then watch the show and you won't have felt like anything was robbed from you by having read the plot synopsis. Whereas, like, I think a relatively weaker thing that might even be enjoyable, right, for one watch. Maybe just the twists and the turns of it are worth watching.
And that's not bad. Some things that you can do just the one time. But it's sort of the opposite of irony that that's the kind of thing we appreciate, because clearly Injustice, we've done everything almost, and it's still worth coming back to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the idea, right? That there's something that has that, you know, it's that joke, right? Yeah. Like, which one has the most value? Is it Paul Blart Mall Cop, which you watch three times? Or is it Godfather 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
And is it, I mean, pardon me, I mean, it's a joke, and it feels superficially like a dumb joke.
Yeah.
But there's a truth to it, right? Which makes it even funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I value Injustice more, because I like coming back to play it.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not just comfortable, but I'm discovering new things about it as I play. Like, all this stuff about these little nuances about who's getting the credit for the win and who's getting credit for the damage and how the game decides that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's dumb, but it's, there's, again, there's this, there has, I feel like we undervalue that comfort and that replayability and how much, I mean, I guess that's not entirely right. I think we do really do value properly the things that we, when we come back to it, that are better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we may be undervalued compared to the things that are big, that are worth doing just the one time, but aren't worth coming back to again.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because a lot of those times, with your favorite stuff, you want to be able to come back to it. And if you come back to it and it no longer feels enjoyable, then it taints it a little bit for you. But if you can come back to it and it's just as good as the first time, then you're like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Better. Like,
when it has more staying power with you.
So did I say this already on tape? Like, that Andor was better the second time because I didn't have worry about... Yeah, I didn't have to worry about what was happening. I could enjoy each moment.
You enjoyed the moments instead of the plot. And that's exactly what I was talking about. Yeah. The drama to you was actually better than the plot.
Yeah.
And so when the plot wasn't taking up as much space in your mind, the drama was actually still more enjoyable than, you know, the surprises of the plot.
Yeah.
And talking about sort of coming back to Injustice is a great segue into our first question.
Oh, actually, before I get that, just to anchor this in time of what's happening, I want to point this out. This is the plug that might help us. So what's ridiculous to me is how cheap mobile plans have gotten in Canada compared to what they were before. Because traditionally, Canada's gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to mobile plan pricing, right? Mm-hmm. Just everything's too expensive. And finally, you know, it's not even a Canadian holiday. It's an American holiday of, you know, Thanksgiving and Black Friday, where we're finally getting data plans, $34 Canadian a month, or every 30 days, for 40 gigs of data.
That's at 5G ridiculous.
Speed. it is ridiculous considering 5 years ago we were making do on no data. When did we start getting data? Was it 5 years ago?
I don't remember.
And then we for a long time, it was 1 gig of data until this summer, and we switched over some plans. So if you're on Public Mobile, I'm going to put my referral code on there. And if you're interested and you sign up with Public Mobile, you log in, you'll get $10 off when you sign up for your whatever thing you pay for. And I will get $1 off each month because of those referrals. But it's ridiculous. So the problem really
is... It is genuinely a good deal right now.
The problem really, the biggest problem with Public Mobile is they have no real sort of traditional customer support. It's all online in their community. And so if you have trouble, it's a problem. But there hasn't been a problem with us. And so to me, it's been all good. We've never actually needed to deal with support. But I've heard that when you have to, it is painful.
Well, I would say that there's a second problem, which is that most people... Or not most people, but I know a lot of people use their plans to get them their phones, right? And they sort of pay it out slowly over time. Yeah. So a lot of people are locked in and can't really change their carrier, which is exactly why they do that, right?
Right.
And they're sort of in an awkward state where it's never really a good time to swap plans to somebody else.
Right.
And you also have to have more money up front to buy your phone.
Right, to buy your device. But I'll tell you what. I mean, for the longest time, we were with Rogers.
Yeah.
And it was a bare bones plan. It was phone only. It had a certain number of daytime minutes. Do people remember this? Certain number of daytime minutes and then unlimited evening and weekends. No data. Yeah. And it was cheap enough that it was okay. And as the price sort of crept up and then the lack of data and the data on other plans increased.
Yeah.
It was that there was, I felt like I was getting a little bit ripped off, but not ripped off enough to change because that inertia of being with something.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they were going to jack up the prices. I thought, enough's enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad we switched to Public Mobile while they still had their old rewards.
I mean, the advantage of having sort of your own phone too is that I think in the long run, it's cheaper, right? Like they are making their money back from you.
Right.
Which is why they're offering it to you. They're not giving you a free phone. You're paying them for a phone in fees, and the value of it is obfuscated. So it makes it, you know, if you like upgrading your phone every like 2 years and you're on a 2 year cycle with them, then that's good. But if you don't upgrade your phone every 2 years, you're basically wasting money.
Right. Although ultimately, if you do upgrade your phone, you are getting a good deal, because I think that when you take that into account, that the price you end up paying, if you were willing to spend the money on their wireless package anyways, it ends up being good, but only if you were going to do that, and there's the profit on you baked into that already.
That's true. There's a little bit of a deal with the bundling, whatever. Yeah. It's the math can work out. It's like, you know, a combo meal at a restaurant, right?
Oh, okay. So, all right. So this is something very local. There's a Chinese hamburger place, Chinese style hamburger place called Bing's, B-I-N-G-S, that's in the GTA. So there's a few locations.
B-I-N-G-Z?
B-I-N-G-Z. You're right. B-I-N-G-Z.
Yeah.
And they have a combo.
Yeah.
And the combo is their signature burger, which is a pork thing, shredded pork in a flaky bun.
Yeah, it's delicious. Not even really a burger. It's more like a sandwich. Yeah. Because the bun isn't like a normal bun, and the filling is not like a burger.
But the veggie is absolutely... I love the veggie and the barbecue mushroom. The barbecue mushroom is a juicy one. It's got the traditional spicy kind of flavor. Yeah. And what's interesting is the veggie one is like a slaw almost, but it's got the non-traditional spicy, which is the numbing. It's like almost all numbing and no spicy. And the barbecue one is all spicy, no numbing.
Even having eaten a lot of like Chinese food, the veggie slaw is not like really anything else I've ever had, because it's not vinegary.
Right.
The closest thing I would compare it to is maybe seaweed salad with a different flavor profile.
Right.
It's great. So, it's really good.
So getting back to that, they have every time I go and order from them, like a bunch of stuff, they always see, whoever's there at the cash always looks at me and says, oh, we have a bundle. Here, I'm going to change something in the bundle, okay? It'll save you some money, okay? And because I'm ordering their plum brew.
Yeah, you're ordering a drink.
A drink, noodles
and a burger, which is a combo.
As part of it. Like, there's whatever. When I'm ordering a big order, there's a combination of stuff that's there.
Yeah.
The hilarious thing, though, is if you price them all separately, the amount of savings on the combo is 7 cents.
Yeah.
It's close enough that you have to do the math.
It's like a rounding error.
You're, yeah, that you actually, you're save, you have to look at it carefully to realize that you are saving money, because it could just as easily be in another direction. You wouldn't even notice because it's that close that in my mind, I think, well, you know, I don't make a point of ordering, because then I have to think about the combination. I just order what I want, let them do the make the offer and let them save me 7 cents.
So we're not even going to get to one comment if we keep talking, but you reminded me I want to talk about something else. So the combo is a terrible deal.
Right. Do you have the bundling. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Because mine...
But they're delicious. I want to point out that they're delicious. If anybody's in the GTA area or wherever else Bing's is, it is absolutely delicious. Yeah. I highly recommend the barbecue mushroom and the veggie. I find the signature a little bit dry, but you like the signature.
I do.
Yeah.
But it was a couple of years ago. I was on a trip with a friend. We were doing a bunch of hiking, and so we needed this pass to a
park. I don't remember
if it's a national park or a provincial park, but anyways, you need a pass. Yeah. So you can, there's a road through it, you can drive through it, but you need a pass. So there's this little booth that's open every day, and that's where you buy the pass from. And you can buy day passes or seasons passes, and because we were going to be there for like more than a week, right? We were going to be visiting a bunch of stuff over there. Right. We needed sort of the seasons passes.
Right.
And so we go up to the booth, it's a drive-through, and we're like, we would like two seasons passes for adults. And the guy behind the booth says, oh, okay, well, you know, we actually have another thing, right? There's the family pass, and that'll just let you have everything in your car. So that's probably for you. I'll give you the family pass instead. And we were like, everybody in our car, how many, like, that's... You know, he was like, oh, it's up to like five people. So if you have like a friend that you want to bring or whatever, I'm like, no, it's just us two. So we're definitely not going to need to bring anybody else with a pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just the exact same as two. And then he goes, oh, well, you know, it's like the same price anyways. So don't even worry about it. I'll get you the family pass. And I was like, is it like the exact same price for like two passes? And he's like, oh, it's close. Do you want me to check? I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind for you to check. That seems good. And then he checks. And he goes, oh, so the price of two singles is like 30 cents cheaper. It was like somewhere between 25 cents and a dollar. It wasn't like a lot of money.
Right.
But he's like, two single passes is 30 cents cheaper. The family pass is a tiny bit more expensive, but it's for everybody. And he goes, so which one do you want? And so he knows the setup. I'm like, we thought this would be like 20 seconds, but it's been like a couple minutes because he had to like look it up. He was figuring out. He had to do the math and whatever. And I'm like, you make me feel like a jerk for making an issue over like 30 cents worth. But which I obviously, you know exactly what our situation is. We want the cheaper one.
Right.
Right. We don't want to pay 30 extra cents for nothing.
Right.
Right. And you know, at the beginning of the interaction, if you told me that you could have skipped that whole thing for 30 cents, that whole conversation,
right.
maybe I would have done it. But now I've already spent all the time, right? You've looked it up. You've checked the price. And I don't want you to take money from me for nothing. I don't want you to take money from, take my time, take my money and provide me no service. And so it's incredibly petty, right? Like the amount of time I spent talking about it just now, right, is not worth the sort of 30 cent surcharge of my time. Right. But I just remember so distinctly because I'm like, the guy gave us this whole runaround to spend a little bit of money. And it's not like, you know, he's not upselling us.
Right. He's not getting anything out of
it. Yeah. It's like Parks Canada. There's no benefit to him. But he just had this whole back and forth with us so that he could maybe charge us an extra 30 cents. But he seemed
maybe he just wanted the conversation.
He seemed to really want us to buy the family pass. And I don't know why. Right. There was something about it where he's like, oh, I think this is probably better. And it was not.
Right. Right. See, all right. So now it's made me think of something else. So going back to public mobile. So the interesting thing is when it's hard. So that's easy to compare.
Yeah.
Because you know exactly what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But it's very tempting to pay that little bit extra to have that potential where you could bring whatever vagrant you found on the side of the street with you into the park. At no charge.
Yeah, there's just the guy. We can, like, hitchhike or whatever.
Right,
we
so
can,
they can...
Or if we see a family, we're like, oh, get in the back seat.
Exactly.
We'll take you in for free.
So the interesting thing about public mobile is... So they had... we were on the $25 plan.
Yeah.
That was, I think, 1 gig a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 gig every 30 days. Yeah. And then they had the $34 plan for 20 gigs... Yeah. At 5G. And man, that's really good. That's worth it to switch over. We switched us all over. Mm-hmm. And then for their Black Friday sale, they had same price, $34 for 30 days, 40 gigs at 5G.
Yeah.
And their servers got slammed. And as I'm sitting up late trying to log into the self-service account to change the renewal at the next renewal date, I'm thinking, I never use more than 20 gigs anyways.
Yeah, what am I doing this for?
What am I doing this for?
It's just a deal.
It's just, okay, so the after 40 or 20, whichever the plan was, there was unlimited internet at a much slower speed.
Yeah.
So it's not like you get cut off, and it's not like it's non-functional anymore, but it's the same idea. I'm thinking, I'm staying up late.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm doing. Part of it was the next day it got easier anyways because the people weren't so busy. Because
so you could have just slept.
I could have just slept. But nobody said, there was no announcement about how long the deal would last for, right? Whether it was just 24 hours or whether it was until Cyber Monday. In retrospect, we know now it was available at least until Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
But it's the same idea where, okay, so there's this thing. And I think part of me feels like I would have probably been willing to spend a dollar or two more even to get that extra 20 gigs. Maybe not. I probably wouldn't have been willing to spend a dollar more. But just to get that thing that I don't even want because it's there.
Yeah.
That is postmodern consumerism capitalism for you, where I want these things that I should, that don't even, that I know have no bearing on my life.
Yeah.
I'm using 5 gigs a month at the most.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's true.
So
to just put the button on that story, I think the thing that surprises me the most is that it was that guy's job, right? He sat in a booth and he sold people tickets.
Yes.
He sold people entry passes.
Yes.
And he didn't have the numbers run in his head to know which one was cheaper. He had sort of a gut instinct that it was either the same price or whatever.
Right.
And in his whole job, I guess, either we were the first people who turned down the family pass or we were the first people to ask him about the price or whatever. But that guy who, and there was an information center. So it was his job. I mean, I'm sure he could give you a little bit of information, but his job was not even providing the information. He was just the ticket guy.
Right.
And he still didn't know.
Yes.
Which one was the better thing.
He was the money guy for the tickets.
I was being exposed to this whole sort of world for the first time. Right.
Yeah.
And he lived it. That was what put food on his table.
Right.
Anyways, you expect them to know.
Right.
So we'll answer one question.
Okay. We have to.
We'll talk about one.
Yeah.
So Pikachu5J says, howdy, howdy, guys. Been a long time since I've been here. Had to go to school and Injustice stopped being a viable side hustle, not to mention the new metal characters and my new phone screen being too small to use two fingers on some specials. Was randomly thinking about you guys and checked to see that you're still around. Glad to see you're still kicking. I might come back to my toxic ex. So knowing you're still putting out regular content about it is a goodie bag of heartwarming and foreboding, because I'd absolutely not reinstall if y'all weren't still here. Hope you're both doing well. Looking forward to the next Q&A. And I want to say, I love some of the turns of phrases in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a engagingly written comment, for sure.
Yes.
But I have some questions about specifically one use of turn of phrase.
Yeah.
Which is, did the same thing stick out to you?
There's a few things, actually. When you say the turn of phrase, I really liked how there's that consistency when you're doing like the contrasting, like the heartwarming and foreboding.
Yeah.
I liked. They're both the form of the word, right? Like you're actually comparing sort of equivalent things.
Yeah.
And the toxic X.
Yeah.
Where there's, and I feel like, I like this comment. I pulled it out because I have that same feeling a little bit about Injustice.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, what was the part you noticed?
Mine is side hustle, right?
Oh!
Because side hustle has a connotation. My question is, were you making money from this somehow? Because I don't know, I can't tell, right? This casual tone, maybe you're using side hustle to mean just like thing I do in my free time, sort of something that you're hustling to, which is playing the game on the side of whatever your main sort of responsibilities are. But I've only heard side hustle in the context of like making money.
Right.
So I'm wondering, Injustice stopping being a viable side hustle. Did that mean that you were making cash and then that you stopped making cash at some point from Injustice?
We would like to know.
Did you just mean that you got busy? Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Injustice is our side hustle too, but really it's making videos, right? And Injustice is the topic of our side hustle. But I'm wondering what your Injustice side hustle was, if it was one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I love the comment. Like, it's the, I feel like I have this love-hate relationship a little bit with Injustice. I love it, but it takes time away from a lot of other things I could do. I today had the day off. I actually read a book.
Wow.
It's been a long time. Really enjoyed it. It was Days of Tao by Wesley Chu. It's
So did you start and finish the book?
I started and finished today. It's a novella, so it's relatively short. It's like maybe 110 pages. So
still pretty cool.
Very enjoyable. It really expands on the Tau universe.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it was just I think about that every time, because as with the kind of the way I have to still play Injustice to maintain that kind of expertise and to see new things, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could be doing much more productive things with my time.
Mm.
But I can't give it up, really. Not until we let this channel go fallow and maybe die.
Well, once we let it go gentle into that good night.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we could do one more really quick question, because I feel like this is time sensitive and maybe this person could benefit from the information.
So Mr. Gaines 7252 says, what can I do if I don't receive my multiplayer rewards? It said it will be rewarded soon, but that was 1 hour ago, and usually I get them instantly. Also, is there any other way to get Necron Scythe just in case I don't receive it? It is an old comment at this point.
Yeah, because it's been 5 days ago. Yeah. But, and the true answer to this is old if you've already asked the question. You need to know before it starts. And I'm going to put a link in the description to a comment from Devlin16, who is one of the mods on the Injustice Mobile subreddit. And it talks literally about this and the most common reason why this manifests like this, which is the early rewards bug. And he goes into, or they go into a lot of detail about how it can look differently to you, whether it's that one week you get the reward that's the wrong one, and you may not even realize it's the wrong one if you don't get in the top 5%.
Yeah.
Because the top 5% is the only place where it starts distinguishing itself each week, right? So if you get the early rewards glitch, you might feel like you're getting it on the time that you're supposed to, and then the rest of the season is a bit of a waste. It's explained in more detail. The essence of it really is that you need to, as soon as that happens, you need to not accept the rewards, because that's what actually locks it in. And you need to wipe the information from your phone, risking potentially, like, if you don't log in properly with your WBID, to lose your account. But if you've been doing it enough and you're happy enough with, or you're happy enough with the integrity of your account on WBID, which we are when we switch between devices, right? Then you have to do it right away in order to get the rewards. Otherwise, you're screwed for the for that week. And if you get locked out 1 week, hopefully that's the beginning of getting back into sync and getting the rewards properly. But read the link. The comment goes into a lot of detail. It is super useful. It is from 3 years ago, but it is just as relevant now as it was then.
So there we go.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. And that is a good place to end it off, having talked a little bit about Injustice.
Yeah.
So to finish up, we'd like to give a huge thank you to all of our lovely patrons on Patreon.
And that would be Michael DeVries, Irving Ruiz, and Hoshi127, who are supporting us on the credit level, and the other names that you see who have supported us at some point during this pandemic.
Thank you so much for your support, and thanks so much to all of you for watching or listening to this. We'll see you next time.
Komoda!